intimate relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to do His will in our everyday life. The word revive literally means to bring back to life. Revival is what happens when God's people, whether individually or corporately, are restored to a right relationship with Him. Now, revival is a supernatural work of God. It's not something we can manufacture or package. We can sing these songs about revival, and we can get that feeling that we need revival. But we can't do it on our own. Only God can change our heart, and only God can give us that desire to be revived. He is the only one that can renew you. A quote from a book called Seeking Him says, "In times of personal or corporate revival, God's people experience His presence and power in ways previously missing from their lives, and to degrees never thought possible." If we see a revival in our hearts as an individual or as a church, it's going to be something that you would not expect. God will do a great work. Now, revival starts in an individual's heart. Starts in my heart. Starts in your heart. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Now, my prayer is that God will revive me, Earl Chandler, and every member and regular attender of Sugarland Bible Church. You need to be prepared. How do we prepare for revival? We're on our knees. We pray unto the Lord. We're asking Him. We're crying out to Him for His help. Now, there's a lot of prayers in the Word of God. And we're going to spend some time in the Psalms this morning, as well as some Old Testament scripture. And I want you to remember, as we go through these scriptures, that all scripture is inspired by God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But God is the one that does that, and we'll talk about that as we go through. Let's turn to Psalms 139:23, and I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. It was read from the NASB this morning for a reason, and you'll hear that as we go through. Psalm 139:23. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxieties." Or, as it was in the NASB, "anxious thoughts." Verse 24. "And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Wicked way in me. Is there anything that's wicked in me? Is there any secret sin I have? Is there anything that the Lord needs to bring to my attention. And he wants me to be led by him in his way, which is the right way. Now, David prays in these verses four things. One, for God to know him and expose his thoughts. Now, who's he exposing the thoughts to? He's exposing the thoughts to God. God is exposing my thoughts to him and reminding me of those wrong thoughts. Second, for God to try or perfect his thoughts. He wants me to replace those wrong thoughts or those evil thoughts that I have with his thoughts. Third, for God to purge away whatever evil remains in me. Fourth, and for God to lead him in the way everlasting. You know, we've had a lot of teaching here at Sugarland Bible Church in Proverbs on being on the right path with God. In Matthew, Jesus talks about being on that narrow path. The right path with God. Now, God knows everything. He is everywhere. God is all-powerful. Now, David, in the psalm, wants God to use the knowledge God has of him to lead him in the right way. We should want God to lead us daily in the right way. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. This is a serious thing to pray because it invites painful exposure and surgery, heart surgery, if we truly mean it, if we truly want God to search our heart. I do truly want God to search my heart, reveal to me anything that I need to correct, because I want to do what he wants me to do. And that's very important for me, very important for you, to have your heart revived, renewed, restored by God. This is something that each one of us, each believer, should desire. Also in these scriptures, here are some things of appreciation of the omniscience of God and what that appreciation should do for each one of us. First, it should humble us. We need to humble ourselves before our Lord. It should comfort us. It should comfort us to know that God is with us. He cares about us. He loves us. God comforts us in our sickness, in our pains. We sometimes forget that he lives in us. We've heard last week about the man Jesus Christ. And if we are all being made in his image, he's working his life through us. And sometimes when I think about him working through me, if I'm getting in the way, I need him to revive my heart for him, my love for him. Everything I do, I need to do for him. Third, it should encourage us to live for God. By God living in us, by saving us, he has shown us he has a purpose for us. Not only to glorify him in all that we do, but to reveal Jesus to others through us and through our life, whether it's in word or deed. That should help us pray. The Lord has given us the Holy Spirit to comfort us and to make groanings to God to help us pray what needs to be prayed, to pray in God's will. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died on the cross for our sins. He was raised on the third day. And he's ascended to the right hand of God. His death, his resurrection for us means my life needs to be lived for him. He saved me. All of our worship, all of our songs, all of our prayers, everything. It's about him. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 85:6 says, "Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you?" We need to be rejoicing in our Lord. The people prayed for their own welfare and for the ability to praise God. If he revives us and gets our heart and our eyes back on him instead of other problems that we may be having or have had, we will be able once again to praise him with joy. We had a prayer meeting here last Sunday evening. Quite a few of you were here. In every one of those prayers, I heard we were praying to him that we need his help. And I pray each and every day that he will help Sugarland Bible Church be the witness in this community that we need to be. Now, in preparation for revival, God convicts his believers of their sin and calls them to return to him. Now, as a believer, you know every time you sin, and if you're a believer, you are a sinner, God convicts you of that sin right the moment that you're doing it. If you have the wrong thoughts, he convicts you of it as you're thinking it. He convicts us of our sins, whether it's a secret sin or any kind of sin. Oh, and talking about sin, God hates sin. That's all sin. It's not just one kind of sin or two kind of sins. It's all sin. And he convicts us of it. And when he does that, then we ought to be right away, right that second, God, help me. Please get my thoughts back on the right track. Over the years, I've learned that when he convicts me, that I quote a scripture right away, because he brings it to my mind. Second Chronicles 7:14. Love hearing those pages turn. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, we all know that this verse in its context here is directed to the nation of Israel. However, the principles it reveals have a timeless application to every believer. This verse outlines how we must respond to God if we wish to experience the revival he desires to send. There are four principles set forth in this scripture. First, God's people. If my people who are called by my name. We are his people. He has called us for his service. All of us. Every single one of us. He has saved us. We are believers. Second, we must humble ourselves, or they humble themselves. We must humble ourselves before God. Pray, number three, pray and seek his face. You have a daily prayer time. Does it go something like this? Oh, thank you, Lord, for helping me get here today. Can you please give me that new job? Can you please help me win the lottery? Or does it say, God, I need your help. Lord, give me the words to talk to that unbeliever. Lord, give me the boldness to show and tell others about Jesus. We need to pray and seek his face. We need his help. I need his help. I ask him daily to help me. No matter what I'm going through. Even if you happen to be out there in that grocery store and the Lord gives you the opportunity to witness for him, You need to be asking the Lord right then to help you and to give you the words to say. And He will. Fourth, turn from our wicked ways. Turn from those sins. He tells us we need to confess our sins. What's it, 1 John 1:9? Confess them to Him. Let's look at another prayer in the Old Testament, a prayer for revival. Let's look at Habakkuk. Who? Habakkuk. Now, the whole chapter 3 in Habakkuk is a prayer. And it's a prayer for revival. I'm going to just go through some of the scriptures, but I'll tell you about what it's saying in some of the others, and I would encourage you at some point in time to really sit down and study this prayer. Habakkuk 3, starting in verse 2. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. In verse 2 here, in his prayer for revival, there's some examples that really jump out at you. One is taking God's word seriously. Oh Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. And we're in God's word, He's going to convict us. We're going to get some reproof occasionally. We're going to get some, not just encouragement all the time. We're going to get correction. We're going to get instructions and righteousness. Taking God's word seriously. In the direct request for revival, it says, revive your work in the midst of the years. That's a direct request for revival. It's the same thing we ask for if we want individual or corporate revival. We ask Him directly, God, we need your help. Revive my heart. And of course, there's an appeal here for mercy, not for what we think we deserve, but for mercy. And you get the opportunity and you go through, you're going to find out that verses 3 through 7 acknowledge God's great power over His entire creation, over all of us. There's an acknowledgement that God in righteous anger punishes sinful men and nations in verses 8 through 12. There is a praise to God for saving His people, verses 13 and 15. And there's an acceptance for God's will in verse 16. And that's God's will for the future. It's an affirmation of faith in God, whatever events should come our way, in verses 17 and 18. And then I'd like to read verse 19. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on high hills. It's an affirmation that God is our strength. I am weak, he is strong. There's an affirmation here that God is the source of our walk. He will make my feet like deer's feet. Now, I know there are hunters out here who go hunting for that little Bambi or whoever he is, that big buck. But you've always admired the steadiness of the deer as he's running or he's up on this high hill. He's sure-footed. I'm sure-footed when I'm walking in the way of God. Also in verse 19, there's an affirmation that God is the source of our blessings. Now Habakkuk, some 6 centuries before Christ came, prayed for revival. He desired to see God's work live again. Just like you and I would like to see God revive us. Revival today would reflect a renewed living faith. The Lord has given us a measure of faith. He has told us to trust Him. How can we trust Him? We trust Him through faith. We will have a renewed faith in Him. In other words, we won't try to help him along so much. Let him work through us. Revival today would reflect a new commitment to God to be faithful in worship and church attendance. It would reflect a greater zeal and desire to study God's Word and to pray. It would be a zeal. It would be enthusiasm to be in God's Word. We would be excited to know what He has for us. We've got some professors here, and every one of them will tell you you need to study if you want to know or learn. Same thing in our kids that are in school. And that's the same thing with you and me in the Word of God. We have to be in it. We have to read it. We have to study it. We have to meditate on it. If we truly want to know what God's way is for us individually. Revival today would reflect a renewed effort to win souls and participate in missions. We would have that excitement, that urgency to tell others about Jesus. I would venture to say everybody here has at least one relative that is not saved, and we need to be praying for them. We need to be telling them every opportunity about Jesus. Sure, they're going to get tired of hearing it, but it's our obligation to do that. And also to, on a regular basis, in conversation with people, we need to talk about Jesus. Save souls. We don't save them. God saves them. but he gives us the responsibility to tell them. Revival today would reflect a putting away of sins, including criticism, grumbling, and gossip. I know that never happens here. But putting away of all sins in our life. Now we all know that even if we get renewed, we're still going to sin occasionally. But it will be less and less as we go along in the way that the Lord wants us to walk. Revival would reflect a greater spirit of love and forbearance among God's people. What's Scripture say? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then that second commandment is what? Love one another. There will be a greater spirit of love. There will be a greater impact of witness in the community. When people look at Sugar Land Bible Church or hear about Sugar Land Bible Church, there will be a greater impact to our witness as we are revived. Revival would reflect a rising love and praise to God for His abundant goodness. God is good. Occasionally you'll hear somebody say, well, God is good, and then you'll hear mumbling. God is always good. Even when He is disciplining us, He is good. His grace is good and sufficient. You know, and we will see a real loyalty to the Word of God. Need to make it personal. I need to make it personal for Earl Chandler. You need to make it personal for you. And then it will become a corporate revival. Now we can talk about it and give lessons on it, but God knows our heart. And if we truly go to Him in prayer, seek His face, cry out to Him, be on your knees, ask God to revive your heart. We need to study His Word. And we talk an awful lot here in the Bible Church about having a regular devotion every day, being in the Word. We've got all the daily bread out there, the daily walk. You can go through all these things, you know, and just... Does that just become talk? How are we really going to get to know God? How are we really going to get to know what He has to say and what He has to say to me personally? It's right here. Conversation. Need to meditate on it. I need to walk in His way. So, let's prepare your heart. Let's prepare my heart. First, worship Him and praise Him for who He is. Remember the song? On who He is. Express thanksgiving for what He's done. Psalm 100, verse 4. Actually, this whole psalm is a psalm of thanksgiving. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Worship and praise God for who he is. Second, ask God to show you anything that could hinder your fellowship and communion with him. Confess any sin that he brings to mind. By us confessing sin to him, we're agreeing with him. Yes, Lord, that's a sin. We're facing up to it. Confess it to him. And then get rid of it. Replace it with what he tells us to do. Third, ask God to quiet your heart. To open your ears and to speak to you through his word. Ask his Holy Spirit to be your teacher. We need to be quiet. We need to hear what God has to say. It's very difficult today. You all are out there in the work world, you know. Man, there's noise out there. And that's not counting the noise at home when the TV's blasting. In my neighborhood where I live, I don't even have to turn the radio on. I can hear them coming down the street. My house rocks. We need quiet. We need to listen to what God is saying. That's why he's talking to us right here in this word. I don't care if you're in the Old Testament or the New Testament. This is the inspiration of God. He is talking to you and me. I want to hear what he's got to say. I want to do what he's telling me to do. And that means on any subject, I'm to take all scripture that's in here on that subject. Read it, study it, meditate on it, listen to God's direction. I don't care whether it's in my marriage or about my finances or what it is. I want to do what God wants me to do. Praise the Lord that he speaks to us through his word. Praise the Lord that he will revive us again. Let's pray. Lord, we do come asking you to revive our hearts, to give us that first love again, to help us, dear Lord, to stay focused on you. Lord, to ask your help in our everyday life. Revive my love for you, revive my heart for you, dear Lord. Lord, as we close in prayer here, I do want to ask you, Lord, please, Lord, give me a closer walk with you. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.